Hi, everyone.
Welcome back
to Too Niche.
I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara. And this is the podcast where we haul.
We take a trend, we take an idea, we take a thing, and we just go all the way in.
We haul it out.
And if you're joining us, perhaps you joined us last week where we hit part one of our Lana Del Rey exploration. And we're back for part two.
Turns out the Lana Del Rey catalog is massive and there are so many songs to get through, and it was just simply not enough to boil it down to one episode.
And as one who's addicted to synchronicities, I have to say our part one could not have been better timed. Not only in the past week have we gotten a new Lana single, but her album, Born to Die, re-entered the top 50 on this week's Billboard 200 for the first time since 2014.
This feels like the Too Niche effect.
Although
our listeners are certainly not at the kind of numbers that would be honored by, let's say, like an Apple charting system at this juncture, I do feel like they're very much needle movers amongst the listeners.
Most certainly. And I'm just going to take it as a W.
Yeah. It's a huge win for all the Nishas.
Yeah.
And Lana. Congratulations to our queen.
And today, as of this recording, we got a lovely little GQ article on the Nepo Daddy himself, Lana's dad.
I know. He has an album coming out June 9th. Lana's on two tracks. I wish we had some advance tracks to haul.
Love to integrate that into the haul, but we'll
one of these
circle
days.
Back.
Yeah. I wanted to quickly follow up on like a few things before we get into the haul, just to like circle back to some A pluses that I've experienced since we have mentioned them and I've gotten to try them. One is the Hani products.
Sephora episode.
Yeah. So Hani sent us products like their shave stick and then like an in-shower salve. And I've tried both. And I really have to say the shave stick is an A plus for me.
I'm so excited to try it.
Yeah. And I love seeing it in my shower. Like the colors against my tiles really soothe me. And I always like give it a little wink when I walk in the bathroom.
That's nice.
And then the makeup brush cleaner that you recommended. I bought that.
Yeah.
I've been cleaning brushes.
And
feeling good about
it. Is it a thrill?
It's a thrill.
That stuff is magical.
It's good. My last brush cleaner was like a spray. So it was kind of the same, I think same-ish type of product, like an oil-based product that pulls the makeup out, but yeah. It would get all over everywhere and it smelled just like it was too much.
What was the name of that brand? I'm drawing a blank. Cinema Secrets.
Cinema Secrets, yeah. So now clean brushes.
Like new.
Yeah, much more often.
I'm so pleased to hear that.
Yeah. And then the socks that you recommended, we were sent a batch of those, and I'm such a sock girl now.
Le Bon Shop has changed my entire life.
Yeah, Le Bon Shop is just changing up my entire sock drawer.
Same.
And I'm like very much a no, don't show your ankles kind of sock person now.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I love when a wreck hits. Nothing makes me happier in this life, so those are really nice updates.
Yeah, so those are just some A plus updates.
Amazing.
But yeah,
A plus amazing.
Should we get into
I'm ready to Lana it up.
All right,
round two.
Okay, so we kind of had to motor through a couple songs because last week I was thinking that that would be the only haul, but then there were so many more songs on the playlist that we were like, okay, we can just like take it easy, take it slow.
I feel like too, if I can glean anything from Lana's music, it's to not rush.
No.
I feel like it's a slow burn.
It's a very slow burn. So I wanted to go just quickly back to Norman fucking Rockwell for a hot second and include the song Hope is a Dangerous Thing for a Woman Like Me to Have, because I love that title. A, it's giving depression, it's giving Virginia Woolf, and it's also a very beautiful song.
Okay.
I was reading some errands and I got to thinking that I thought maybe I'd get less stressed if I was tested less like all of these debutantes smiling for miles in pink dresses and high heels and white yachts. But I'm not, baby, I'm not. No, I'm not. That I'm not. I've been tearing around in my fucking account 24/7 Sylvia Plath, writing in blood on my walls cause the ink in my pen don't work in my notepad. Don't ask if I'm happy, you know that I'm not, but at best I can say I'm not sad. Cause hope is a dangerous thing for a woman like me to have. Hope is a dangerous thing for a woman like me to have.
Chills.
Full chills.
So good.
Are you depressed? Are you a little suicidal from that?
Like, it really tapped into my like overcast day mood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I'm riding the wave with it.
Yeah. I love like the sentiment of being just like a really fucked up woman. Like, and when that's celebrated like by a woman,
yeah,
in a song.
When the perfect wording is put to that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's magic. Great. Yeah.
A plus. Again.
Yeah.
Okay. So we listened to White Dress and then we got through some of Chemtrails, but I do want to go back to Not All Who Wander Are Lost, because I don't think that we hauled that one and that one was on the list.
Okay.
Another great title. And like a more hopeful sentiment.
Okay.
I've been wearing the same damn clothes for 3 damn days. Lincoln, Nebraska's got me in a haze. The thing about men like you is you got a lot to say. But will you stay? You say you got my name on your tattoo. Opening up doors, pulling out chairs, look at you. You talk to God like I do. I think you know the same secrets that I do. I'm talking about not all those who wonder are lost. Not all those who wonder are lost. All those who wander, all those who wander, all those who wander are lost. Just wanderlust. The thing about being on the road is there's too much.
I love that one.
Yeah, I like that. It's like kind of cheesy, like, but I like folky. It. It's a little folky, a little anthemic, but it's like a little bit Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. Exactly.
It was giving daytime festival in a good way.
But I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And sometimes you have to be like a little bit cheesy.
Yeah. I think something I've learned as I've witnessed, sometimes the cheesy hits.
It does. And you know what? I think Lana's a really good example of something called the pendulum effect, which is like the amount you feel your sadness is like the same amount that you feel your joy. So her music really like captures kind of both polarities.
Also, I think something that she hits better than any artist that I'm acquainted with is opening lines to songs. No one is better. And also, I mentioned in the last episode the album titles all just being a haul within itself, but the song titles.
I know.
Poetic. This is what I've learned from this haul, is sort of like a newbie in the Lana space. That's my two big takeaways.
Yeah, very poetic and like thoughtful and deep.
And I just like love the first lines to every single one of her songs.
I know.
They really grab you.
And the voice just serves. I don't know anyone with a voice like her.
A+.
Okay, here's Dance Till We Die.
Okay.
Also from Chemtrails.
I'm covering Joni and I'm dancing with John. Stevie's calling on the telephone. Court almost burnt down my home. But God, it feels good not to be alone. But sometimes this ranch feels like my only friend. And life doesn't always work out like we planned. We keep it moving, babe. So we made it back in the middle of the night to the Louisiana two-step high and bright. That we won't say when, we won't ask why. And we won't stop dancing till we die. I'll keep walking on the sunny side. And we won't stop dancing till we die. Troubled by my circumstance.
Pretty.
Pretty. And you know what? It's like, When singers reference other singers, there's something
that she was referencing Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, okay, and like Joan Baez. Yeah. And I think even Courtney Love, when she said Court burned down my house, like there's something when Lana does it, it's okay and it's cool. But if anyone else did it, I'm like, you're a loser,
like
for that.
Pink.
Me included. Like if I did it, I'd be like, you're cringe.
Remember when Pink did that song? She references like Jessica Simpson.
Ooh. Like if Lana referenced Jessica Simpson, that would be cunt. But if Pink references Jessica Simpson,
it's just like TRL.
Weird.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's the song is.
Was it a diss track to Jessica Simpson?
Kind of. It was sort of like.
I feel like I was reading about this recently, or maybe you and I even talked about this, like how Jessica Simpson said she was like sad that Pink. Someone was sad that Pink talked
well, like,
shit
remember,
about her.
I think that there was some sort of like cyclical TRL thing, how like Eminem like talked about all the other artists that were TRLing at the time, and then like it just sort of made sense for that era to like shout out. It's like how Luann called out the Housewives in her song.
But that was cool. And
so
like,
cool.
That was very cool. And even Eminem, now I'm remembering all his shout outs.
Yeah.
And even though they were incredibly disrespectful, still cool. Lana doing shout outs, respectful. And
very
cool.
I don't know. My Pink anthology isn't really where it should be. I know somebody will know.
Well, we could even, that's like a hall within a hall of.
I really want to do early aughts pop girls.
I know. That's on our hall list for sure. that can be, it'll be like a reverse education, a much needed education for me.
Could tap into that side of my brain that's been dormant for 20 years.
Okay, so we're going to move on to Blue Bannister's era. This album came out during COVID and really was essential listening for me.
Yeah.
Definitely changed my brain chemistry, I think, for the better. We listened to Black Bathing Suit, obviously, but I'm going to play...
Which I've since revisited and I'm obsessed with that song.
It's so good. I'm even just thinking about it and getting a chill. It's
amazing.
I like angry Lana.
Yeah.
I like spiteful laughing Lana.
Yep.
And it makes me feel... If I have a brush with the haters, I go to Black Bathing Suit and it makes me feel a lot better.
Lana knows.
She does. Okay, the last track on this song is called, on this album, is called Sweet Carolina. And it's a song I think that she wrote for her sister's baby, I want to say. But it's just like very pretty, kind of almost like a lullaby.
Don't have to write me a letter, 'cause I'll always be right here, closer to you than your next breath, my dear. We love every hair on your head, love you like God loves you. And you say that you're scared, my baby, I'm prepared for having the baby blues. Baby blues, baby blues. If things ever go wrong, just know this is your song and we love you. You name your babe Lilac Heaven after your iPhone 11. Crypto forever screams your stupid boyfriend, fuck you, Kevin. We love every freckle you have, we love you like God loves you. If you're ever stressed out, just dance in the night. If you get those baby blues, baby blues.
Okay, I just had to play it through the fuck you, Kevin line, because that's one of my favorite lines.
Who's
of
Kevin? Any,
I don't know, actually.
Okay.
I just love, like, crypto forever screams your stupid boyfriend, fuck you, Kevin.
That's a great line. Unfortunately for us, the chat GPT that I'm working with only goes through 2021, so can't come through with some facts.
It's sad. It's sad. But I think her dad played the piano in the back of that song, or this was like the first song that they collaborated on and then kind of set him off on his recording journey. So it's just special. And it's like, I love her love for her family, and I love a creative family,
yeah,
working together. And I love a girl being really close with her father.
Me too. And I'm really into this late in life first album her dad's coming out with.
It's very cool.
We're never too young, guys.
You're never too young
or old.
This also reminds me of one of my favorite memes that I think about often, which was like a meme of like a guy just being like down and out, and was like, if nobody got me, at least I know fill in the blank got me. And it was like, if nobody got me, at least I know Blue Bannister's got me. Can I get a fuck you, Kevin? And I always think about that, and it's just like, that also fills me with joy.
That's so inside. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna move on to, obviously that was an A plus, like, what?
Yeah. In,
we're gonna move on to the next song I selected from Blue Bannister's. This was a song, it's called Dealer. When I heard it, I played it probably 50 times in a row. It became the soundtrack of just my week, and it's just one of my favorites. It's even a slippery slope to listen to it now, because it could send me back into a 50 loop. We'll be right back.
call home. He's no fucking spirit healer.
Uncredited vocals from Miles Kane. He's a British vocalist and co-frontman of The Last Shadow Puppets. I guess she was supposed to do a collaborative album with that band, and then it got scrapped. Mm. But that song lived on.
Okay.
And I'm very glad it did.
Yeah. It's like switching it up, sort of like a dark horse.
It's a dark horse. And Del Rey said, I think I need to add the song Dealer, where I'm just screaming my head off. People don't know what it sounds like when I yell, and I do yell. And I like that. And we do get a little bit of screaming and yelling on this album, which I appreciate. I like it when she goes, I like anyone going dark and kind of going loco. Huge fan.
I think it offers an opening for the listener to go a little loco too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
Yeah.
We need that from art.
The TikTok memes that were going around also when this album came out really took off with, like, when she's like, I don't want to live. And it was like, there were really good.
Okay.
Really, really good TikTok memes. Here's the song Thunder from Blue Bannisters.
You roll like thunder when you come crashing in. Town ain't been the same since you left with all your friends. You roll like thunder when you come crashing in. Regatta's in the way, that's why you're visiting. You act like fucking Mr. Brightside when you're with all your friends. But I know what you like when the party ends. Just do it. Just do it. Don't wait. Just do it. Just do it. Don't wait.
COVID era essential.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing me there.
It really is. And like, there's something also, I do think that she was in her Oklahoma era during this time. And that to me, like the beginning sounds very cinematic and reminds me of like the movie / musical Oklahoma for some
reason.
Like
Home on the Range vibes.
It's like Sweeping Plains vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Through kind of throughout this whole album, but then there's other moments like where it clearly feels more like LA, but there's definitely like I just sense the Oklahoma-ness.
Yeah, there isn't as much like West Coasty references.
Yeah.
As an Oklahoma native,
mm-hmm.
how does this make you feel?
This song
this or this era.
Album? I felt really scene. Talk about synchronicities. I just felt like now we have something to talk about.
Right.
We'll really connect on this when the time is right. And we can chat about Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. She can tell me about Tulsa. I also do feel like I had to go see her billboard when I was home because it was the only billboard for the next album in after this. So like, there's now like a lot of synergy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to talk about.
Bestie alert.
Yeah. I give this song an A+.
A+.
And I also just like that she infuses these songs that kind of feel vintage or sweepingly like cinematic with then very current references. And it sounds very natural, the mixing of the old and the new.
That's another big takeaway that I'm getting from this exploration is how she does that so effortlessly and sort of she's in a league of her own with that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when Taylor does it, it's cringy.
It's so bad. Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
It's really bad. But and I say Lana this as like a Taylor fan.
Yeah. We're probably going to be hauling some Taylor errors at some point.
I know. And it's just not everyone can pull that off.
No.
But Lana can. Lana can do anything.
Lana can.
It's kind of incredible. Okay, here's the next one from Blue Bannister's If You Lie Down With Me.
Put your rebels on, baby, giddy up. Baby, won't you dance, baby, get away. Dreamy nights, talk to me with that whiskey breath. Tour me twice, I'll treat you like a holiday. And don't say you're over me when we both know that you ain't. Don't say you're over me, baby, it's already too late. Do what you do best with me. Dance me all around the room. Spin me like a ballerina super high. Dance me all around the moon. Light me up like the 4th of July. Once, twice, three times the guy I ever thought I would meet. So don't say you're over me when we both know that you lie. If you lie down, lie next to me. La 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 la. If you lie down, lie next to me. La 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 la. When you lie down, lie next to me. Get your jacket on, be a gentleman.
I think this one's my favorite one we've listened to so far today.
Really?
Yeah.
You like a waltz?
I do.
I like it too. I also just think that she is more in charge, or the character that she's playing on these later albums is a woman who's a little bit bossier and more in charge and less of a damsel in distress.
It's growth.
It is growth. And I appreciate that.
Beautiful song. A plus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's Blue Bannister's The Song.
There's a picture on the wall of me on a John Deere. Jenny handed me a beer, said, how the hell did you get there? Oh, Oklahoma. There were flowers that were dry sitting on the dresser. She asked me where they're from. I said a place I don't remember. Oh, Oklahoma. Jenny jumped into the pool. She was swimming with Nikki Lane. She said most men don't want a woman with a legacy it's our vein. She said you can't be amused, be happy too. You can't blacken the pages with Russian poetry and be happy. And that scared me, 'cause I met a man who said he'd come back every May just to help me if I paint my banisters blue. Blue banisters, ooh. Said he'd fix my weather vane, give me children there's a hole that's in my heart. All my women try and heal. They're doing a good job convincing me that it's not real.
I have like the craziest chill. I'm gonna like blast off.
I'm in a zone.
I'm in a total zone.
I'm in like an emo zone.
The most amazing thing too about Lana is like, and we experienced this last haul, was that our dogs were going crazy. And then when we started playing Lana songs, they both were like lulled into peaceful slumber. And it happened again with Tony, who was a little too barky and is now a full sleeping hot dog.
He's in emo hot girl mode.
Yeah. Great. I appreciate it. It's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thankful to this album.
Painting a picture, telling stories. You like visualize everything. Honoring that she's Oklahoma. Talking about. Yeah, the most important thing, Oklahoma. Okay, here's the last song I'm insisting we haul from Blue Bannisters. It's called Wildflower, Wildfire.
Here's the deal. Cause I know you wanna talk about it. Here's the deal. I promise you like a million tomorrows. Here's the deal. What I can promise is all I down like a bed of wildflowers and always make the sheets smell like gardenias wild at your feet. And I nourish you hastily, baby. I've been running on stardust alone for so long. I wouldn't know what hot fire was.
Love, not to lean on this comparison because I made it a lot in the last episode, but that's a deep Tory reference. I think it's the piano ballad of it all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very Tori Amos in the best way.
Cool.
And come to find out, and after I did a bit of research, that the Lana Tori
Venn diagram
is a thing.
Okay.
Which I didn't know. But I felt it in my soul.
We need to do a Tory haul because I really need to get educated on
I was like
Tory.
Pulling songs for you. I have like a playlist
okay,
for you.
Okay, good.
That's like, if you like this Lana song, you'll love this Tory song.
I'm ready to be in my Tori Amos era.
Oh, yeah.
I was also remembering a really funny meme from Blue Bannisters where when it came out, Pitchfork gave it a 7.7 and there was a meme of Dorit looking at her phone and then like a close-up on her face and the reflection was like her scowling at in her sunglasses.
7.7 for Pitchfork like quite high,
not good enough.
Oh,
right. It was like very much like and I that one stuck with
me. Well, on the Venn diagram of your brain, that's just really hitting it on the nose.
Yeah, it hit every single point for me. But I didn't realize that, did you know that there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard rated even higher on Pitchfork, 8.3. Love that for her.
I love the way Pitchfork grades. They're like really a lot more stingy than
they're
I am.
They're way stingy. Yeah. Yeah, they've kept her in the 7 range. They gave Norman fucking Rockwell a 9.4.
Okay.
I'm seeing a lot of 7.5s. Ooh, 7.1 for Ultraviolence. Heavily disagree. 5.5 for Born to Die. How dare they?
The fans would disagree.
Wow. This is a hit piece.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Pitchfork has a vendetta.
Guys, don't let your haters define who you are. And always remember that Pitchfork gave Lana's very first album a shit rating. And look at her now. Fucking thriving.
That's right.
Laughing at them.
Still here.
Yeah. Okay, so then Lana did a song for last season of Euphoria, single called Watercolor Eyes.
Do you watch Euphoria?
I do. And I am just going to continue watching it till we can't watch it anymore because I'm now just like in it.
You're in.
But I have to say I didn't love the finale of last season. Mm-hmm. I just was like, all right.
I never made it past the second episode.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like, there was violence and
you were stressed.
It stressed me out.
It's a really stressful show.
Yeah.
I think it does a good job of capturing that feeling. Like when you're a teenager, you're so stupid and like you don't understand that like you could basically die at any moment or make one bad decision and then you die or your friends die or something horrible happens. And they do a really good job of like holding that tension for the viewer where I'm literally like, someone's gonna die now. Like,
yeah.
Or I keep thinking like something horrible is about to happen. And I think that that's like,
that's probably, you've probably hit the nail on the head as to why I can't,
why you can't stomach fuck it. With it. Yeah.
I've always tried to stay out of that headspace.
Yeah. It's a stressful headspace to be in. And then like when it kind of released that headspace, like last season delivered one of the best monologues I think that's ever been on any TV show or movie. I've watched like top 10.
Okay.
Where like Eric Dane's character basically comes out as gay to his family or maybe bisexual. It's like a 10-minute monologue that he like delivers to his family. And I was like, I watched it like 4 times. I was like, this is incredible.
Okay. That's
but then good to know. It kind of like felt like a letdown. That being said, I'll watch it until the cows come home. And I also can't wait for the idol.
I will hate watch it probably.
You're going to love it.
Probably.
Because it's a pop girly.
Yeah. And there's cults involved. It got a 5-minute at Cannes. I'm
all in. As soon as anyone also like Rolling Stone tried to do like that hit piece on it. And I was like, fuck you. I'm not having this. And I refuse to like engage. And that makes me immediately root for something when someone tries to do a takedown.
I also think it's just interesting that they did it. It's the first TV show that they've ever premiered at the Cannes Film Festival. And I love firsts.
Mm-hmm. That feels important.
Yeah.
I'm having such FOMO over not being at the Cannes Film Festival this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems like the new, I mean, it's not a new hot place to be, but I was like, that's a place where I would really want to be. I want to see all the movies. I've been once before in college.
Oh, cool.
Like I went in 2008 and did like an internship. And then you also got to like get like a festival pass and you could kind of see some movies and like experience the whole festival. Still an outsider because you're like a student, but you still are like in the mix and it is extremely glamorous. And
it
like,
seems cool.
It's really cool. And I think just like culturally, it's like, it seems the fashion has been really good.
Fashion's
gives
been great.
You red carpet glamour. All the models go there. Leonardo DiCaprio's there. Sexy films are premiering. People are booing. People are clapping. Like
people are standing up. They're ovationing.
Yacht, huge yacht parties.
The closest I've ever been to the Cannes Film Festival is when I worked on a desk at CAA. I booked the travel for my boss.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I know the hot hotels.
The 6 degrees.
Hotel de Cop.
God, I had such adventures there. I was like, I miss being like adventurous, being like young, dumb and in Cannes where I don't really, I have no reason to be there other than I paid to do an internship. but I really took advantage of it.
I'm open to South of France anytime, any place, festival or not.
I met Valentino's pugs at the Cannes Film Festival.
Had you had a pug yet in your own life?
No.
Would you say it planted the seed?
It surely planted the seed. I didn't know that they were his at the time, but I was like walking along this one dock where like all the super yachts dock during like the day. And there was like a dog walker walking like five or six like beautiful pugs on a leash. And I was like, I basically got down on all fours and like let them just like lick me and like snort on me. And I was like, thank you so much to the walker. And then years later, when I watched the Valentino documentary, I was like, wait, those were his pugs. And that was his dog walker.
Huge.
A huge moment. So I'm just like, need to get back to Cannes. Putting Cannes on the 2020
synchronicity.
Yeah.
Moving through.
2024 vision board. I'll be at the Cannes Film Festival for something.
Why you always doing that? Breaking up with me, then making love just to make me mad. I think that you taste like rock candy, sweet like peaches, leave me all sandy. Why do you leave me with watercolor eyes? Young love don't always last forever. Wild horses can't keep us together. So what if you taste just like heaven? That don't make it right.
This feels self-referential to like past songs, and I like that she does that.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to B it.
Yeah, I'm going to B plus it.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the next time we heard from Lana. Was when she showed up on Taylor Swift's song, Snow on the Beach.
But did she show up?
This is what really irritated me, is that I was expecting like a full blown like duet.
Yeah.
And then we got like a backing vocals.
Like we got like a whisper.
Yeah. We got like the chorus.
Let's listen.
Okay.
And then we can rehash.
One night, a few moons ago, I saw flecks of what could have been lights, but it might just have been you passing by unbeknownst to me. Life is emotionally abusive and time can't stop me quite like you did, and my flight was awful, thanks for asking, I'm unglued, thanks to you. And it's like snow at the beach, weird but fucking beautiful, flying in a dream, stars by the pocket full. You wanting me tonight feels impossible, but it's coming down, no sound, it's all around, like snow on the beach. This scene feels like what I want.
I kept being like, where's Lana's verse? Like, here we go. Surely she gets a verse now.
I feel like we didn't get the Lana we deserved from this collab. And I'm left wanting more.
And I'm left also wondering why. Who was the executive decision maker that was like, well, that's enough Lana for this one? Like,
did she even come in yet?
Yeah, she sings that like in the background. She's like, yeah. That's not enough. And not also enough. You shouldn't even say that she was on it.
Here's the one thing I like about this song. It's pretty much, to me, it's falls flat on the Midnight's album.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's some great songs on that album. This one is not my favorite in the flow of the album experience. But there's one line that is interesting to me, and I'm curious what you think. So the only line in this song that I like is when they say, now I'm all for you like Janet. Can this be the real thing, can it? Because the song All For You by Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
So this is what's interesting is, as a Lana pop culture reference, it's cool. But I feel like as a Taylor reference, it's kind of not.
No. And this whole collaboration exercise between Taylor and Lana feels a little bit like clout chasing on Taylor's part, because it's like a cool thing to have Lana so on cool. your song. But then it's like, oh, you didn't so much
Taylor because, heavy though.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to me too, because of the Jack Antonoff of it all. They both have worked heavily with him, so you would think that two of them combined it would be a banger, and it just isn't.
Yeah.
I give this song a C for the cocaine that I think they're referencing when saying snow on the beach.
Oh, I like that. That makes me like it more, and I bump it to a B minus. I think even Lana said in an interview, like, I would have done a track, or like, I didn't realize that it would be like the chorus or backing vocals.
Yeah, it could have been so much cooler.
Like, that's like asking someone to come on your podcast and then they say one sentence and then you talk the rest of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not a fan.
Unenthused.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into Lana's most recent album, which I think is a tour de force.
I'm obsessed with this album.
It's so good. Let's just begin at the beginning with The Grants.
One, two, ready. I'm gonna take mine with you with me.
Mine. Say it again.
Mine of you with me.
Thank you. One more time. One, two, ready.
I'm gonna take mine of you with me. I'm gonna take mine of you with me. I'm gonna take mine of you with me. Like Rocky Mountain High, the way John Denver sings.
So you say there's a chance for us. Should I do a dance for once? Your family may bite. When you leave, all you take.
great opener.
I love it. I like the message of it.
What is the message?
It's like she says, like, my pastor told me, when you die, all you leave is your memories, or all you take are your memories, and I'm gonna take mine of you with me. And that's sweet.
Beautiful.
I know. And I just like, it's called like the Grants. It's like about, it's her family. Yeah. And like,
I just love the opener. It's sort of like, okay, we're getting into something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
We're a little more serious this time. I think every time you get like a gospel music, like, and when you do, I love when you hear like a mistake, but then a correction, like the rawness of that makes you pay attention.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
In.
A plus. Okay, let's move on to Sweet.
Okay, this has been one of my favorite songs as of late, like playing on my playlist.
Love it.
Stars in my eyes, hiking up Griffith, thinking about who was said and what didn't get said in the Midwest. Wish I could tell you now. I wrote you a note, but I didn't send it. That's the best method the women here taught me about. What you don't really understand, I've got magic in my hand, stars in my eyes. I'm a different kind of woman. If you want some basic, bitch, go to the Beverly Center and find. I'm sweet, Bethy. If I'm not there, come to my house on Genesee. What you doing with your life? Do you think about it?
Smash got to me never going to the Beverly Center ever again.
I mean, she's right. It is for the basic bitches.
It's true. And when I first heard the song, like when I was listening to the album, I was driving and I had thought to myself moments earlier, I was like, I want to go to a store. Like, maybe I want to go to the Beverly Center. Like, do I want to go to the Grove? And then this line minutes later happened and I was like, well, the Grove it is.
For me, it's the Century City Mall all the way, but...
I That's know,
a little
no,
bit,
Mom.
A little bit of a schlep.
Mm-hmm.
From
That's a commitment.
The hug of La Cienega to Fairfax, which is where you'll get the Grove or the Bevsen.
And I've always been like, a Beverly Center hater, but then this more fully cemented
solidified.
I'm on the right side of history with that.
I know. I mean. And then the reference of like the house on Genesee, which is just blocks from here.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. I too hike up Griffith and think about things. So I just felt really seen by this song in so many realms.
Yeah. Lana, she's just like us.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah. A plus.
Chill
meter high.
This song was the first song on the album that I was like, I'm grabbed. I'm in. Let's
do
this.
Okay. Yeah. I like to know that.
And then I have two others, which I think are on the list.
Yeah. We're going to do A and W next.
That's my next one.
Mm-hmm.
time. I mean, look at me, look at the length of my hair, my face, the shape of my body. Do you really think I give a damn what I do after years of just hearing them talking? I say I live in Rosemary, really I'm at the Ramada. The experience of being an American whore. Called up one from, called up another. Forensic files.
I think we would be remiss to not skip to the second half of this song.
Plus, plus, plus.
I love it.
What I love so much about this song and Lana's artistry as a whole is, to me, this song starts off in a place of like whole live through this referencing, and then it goes into a completely different stratosphere and sort of like elevates it into something so modern.
Totally. And I even think that there's a bit of Radiohead in like the first half of it, with that like subtle dread kind of seated in like just the musicality mm-hmm. of it, like the background music. I love it. And then I love just getting weird with like a Jimmy Jimmy Coco Puff, like callback to childhood, like little so slapping good. Games. What do you call those? Like their handshake?
Hand claps?
Hand claps? Where you were like...
Yeah.
It's just
hand
weird.
Dances. I don't know.
And you can't like do that and be taken seriously yet again. When she does it, it's like, oh, I buy it.
Elevated.
Yeah. And I just love like your mom called. I told her you're fucking up big time. What a cool girl.
This is the experience of an American whore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We've all been that whore. Yep. Yeah. I love it. Okay, I'm going to take a little turn and play, I guess, what would be like the controversial track from this album that really got people in a tizzy.
Controversy.
I know.
It's what they want.
So this is the Judah Smith interlude.
Too long, they've been holding on, but finally they just get weak and soul, as he works deep in your heart, as you call out to him, I'm here, do it in me, man. Help me want what I got. Help me love what's in front of me. Help me want more of my wife and more of my friends. And help me serve the city I live in and not wish it away and hope I can move. Help me, God. I want to be a man of love, not a man of lust. But you got to do that. And so I bring you to this verse and I'm done. I'm done. Psalms chapter 8. And you know where I got this verse? This is going to sound crazy to you, but I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. It's going to make me sound so spiritual, so I'm looking forward to it. I woke up this morning and God said, check the Bible out. I don't know if it was God, but it felt like God. And when I had the thought in my head, check the Bible out, I'm going to speak to you from the verse of the day. That means I don't have to look anywhere. I just get the verse of the day. So I get to the verse of the day. Here's the verse of the day today in the Bible.
Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit to like the very last line because I feel like, well, first actually.
First looks.
When I heard this song at first, I literally thought that was like a Will Ferrell skit.
That's what the first thought I had was. And then I was like, oh, it's not.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, she's at church. Like, oh, this is a preacher. And then I was like, I wonder what pastor this is. And then I saw it was like, I was like, who's Judah Smith? And then looked him up. And I guess he's kind of one of those like LA mega church.
Is he a sneaker preacher?
Yeah. He's like a pastor who wears like funky glasses.
All the good ones do.
I guess he's like Seattle area megachurch pastor and he's like a celeb pastor. And I think that he's been criticized because he might be anti-gay, as like many of the megachurch pastors are. But people were really mad about Lana including this track.
What was the commentary that she's trying to provide by including it?
So I think that it all comes down to like the final line of this song. So I'm going to fast forward.
And he said, yet what honor you have given to me? Created only a little lower than Elohim, which is the name of creator God, artist God. You want to call God artist at some point tonight before you go to bed, man? You're Elohim. And he'll hear, you're the best artist ever. The Lord of Elohim crowned by kings and queens with glory and magnificence. You have delighted, you have delegated to them mastery over all you have made. You've made me a partner with you. I used to think my preaching was mostly about you. And you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I've discovered my preaching is mostly about me.
I think that is what it all boils down to. Like, I used to think my preaching was mostly about you, but I've come to realize that my preaching is mostly about me. And that feels really important and like heavy. And also like that is anyone who is like a creative or an artist, like it is about them, whether or not you have followers or people buying your work or you're known or you're unknown. Like it is kind of not ever about other people. And that even extends into someone like this man who could be considered a performer, who essentially is a performer.
Yeah. And speaking the word of God when really
he performs for money and like puts on the old razzle dazzle and like maybe people connect with it or maybe they don't. And then that's also kind of like to anyone who's criticizing, that the same thing can be said to them. Like it's like their criticisms aren't about the subject of their critique. It's actually about them. And that's why I'm like,
nail on the head.
Lana, you're a fucking genius. You are never not killing it. Make them mad, but make them think. And that's what I love the most is like, or I'm in a, I think a phase where anyone that is like making people like really, really angry, like that's always something that I find to be like, I'm curious about like what is beneath that or like what the real
reveal is
or people are so quick to get so angry at something instead of just like being like, okay, what's like the greater message here? What is making me get so emotional? Because oftentimes it is like just a message that you don't want to hear or you just want to have like a quick reaction to something. I like to look into my own like quick reactions or judgments and then see if I'm like right or not or feeling like, oh, will this change my mind or is it going to make me more angry? Like I like to lean into that rather than be like
Lana, the great teacher.
Truly, classes in session. Okay, let's move on to the next track that I picked out, which is Candy Necklace.
Love this song, and I also love that John Batiste is in the music video.
I know, and he's on the song.
Yeah.
So I had a real chip on my shoulder about John Batiste.
Yeah.
I just like didn't know where he came from or what he was all about. Mm-hmm. And I think I was burned from like the Bruno Mars of it all, like jazzy, like jazzy pop guys getting in the mix and like getting Grammys when you have people like Lana at play. And then I was just like, I was pissed, but I'd also never heard a John Batiste song. I didn't know
he performed with friends of mine a lot, and so I got to see him perform a bunch live, and he's so talented, and it's been so amazing. And this was like 12 years ago, and to see him just
explode
has been really fun.
So then I was like, okay, like I was saying, I need to like maybe examine that or listen to a John Batiste song and not get so like about the whole thing. But then I didn't listen to any John Batiste songs. I quickly like just let go and moved on. But then he popped up on this album and I was like, wait a second, here, this is an interesting merger. And now I love him, even though I still haven't listened to any John Batiste songs, but I'm getting there and I'm over the anger.
He's such a nice guy. And I just like seeing
and his performance on the
Grammys.
Yeah.
Pop up in the zeitgeist.
Yeah. I think he was like, it was like, he is so friendly and like, it was like a positive. And I like to reward broody, dark edginess. And then I was like, this ray of sunshine has got to go. But now I'm like,
know thyself.
He is exploring the dark side with Lana. Yeah. And I love
that.
The
song is beautiful.
Yeah. And I like, the chorus is just like so good and haunting.
In A.
Love it. Okay. This is the song from the album. This next one, this is the one that I had a 50 loop journey with. Paris, Texas.
Great shoe brand. That song is funny.
It's funny.
Because it's like, I went to Paris, Texas. Then I went to Florence, Alabama.
It's so good.
It's cheeky.
It's a cheeky fairy tale of a song. Her voice, again, I'm like, how is this even you? It's like ethereal fairy voice. And it also feels really cinematic. And I then let my brain go into like, oh my God, what would this like movie look like? Or like, what is the story that's being told? And I like the message of it, which is like, when you know, you know.
United States tourism.
Mm-hmm. And keeping it, keeping it within the borders of the US.
That's right.
Yeah. And I love the final line of this song. You are like a first line, which I also like, but I'm also loving the final lines, especially in this album, because she says, when you're right, you're right. When you're right, you're right. Even when you're wrong, which is deep and true. And I have chills all over again.
That could be a too niche rule to live by.
Mm-hmm. When you're right, you're right. Even when you're wrong. Amen. A plus. Okay, now we're going to get to Peppers featuring Tommy Genesis.
This one became an earworm for me.
Was this a 50 loop journey?
A 50 loop journey, but like not even having to have the song on. It just looped in my brain on its own against my will, but I was fine with it.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie, hands on your knees, Angelina Jolie, let me put my hands on your knees, you can braid my hair, do a fat crisscross in the back somewhere. Fuck it, come again.
Why does this song work so well?
It's so good. It's so good.
It's like bad, but incredible.
If you're giving us a Red Hot Chili Peppers reference along with an Angelina Jolie reference along with a specific type of hair braid reference, I'm paying attention.
Also, like, again, with like the Angelina Jolie reference, which any other person you're so cheesy for, no, but when you're Lana, it works just like seamlessly.
It's cool. Anyone else would be cringe.
Imagine being Angelina Jolie and then like getting this song. That's cool.
Maybe. I'm not embarrassed to admit that I don't really know what Hands on Your Knees, I'm Angelina Jolie means. But I'm still loving it.
Yeah, I'm along for the ride. And hopefully it's only a matter of time before Lana mentions a podcast or two on a song. And with her, it wouldn't be weird.
It would be cool.
Yeah. A plus.
A plus. I love that song, Earworm Forever.
It's fun. Okay, Lana came out just in the same week that our haul was released.
I mean, it happened first with the Scandoval of it all on the heels of our Vanderpump singles haul.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a mere day or two after our part one Lana haul came out, Lana drops a new song.
Our fingers are on the pulse.
It's just the facts.
Here is Lana's new song, Say Yes to Heaven.
I'll dance, and if you don't, I'll dance anyway. Give peace a chance, let the fear you have fall away. I've got my eye on you, I've got my eye on you. Stay.
Okay, I didn't realize that this is actually not like a brand new Lana song.
It was like an unreleased.
Yeah, an unreleased song that then got leaked in 2016, but was never officially released. And then it went viral on TikTok last year.
So was, okay, so she released this version and then the sped up version.
The sped up version went on TikTok.
That was the TikTok? That was the TikTok. Okay, because this was my question. I was like pondering this in my brain around the fad of the sped up song experience that seems to be quite hip at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something that has just come along with the era of TikTok, or has the sped up song been around? I truly don't know. Genuine question.
What came first, the TikTok or the song? Yeah. I think that's a
fast forward.
A question as old as time, aka as old as 2019.
Yeah. So when I listen, so can we play the sped up version just to...
Me too. It does sound like it tracks that it's an older song, because it does sound like a little bit like
it's simple.
Yeah, it's Lana 1.0 or like Lana 1.5. I really think that it might be time to like reboot the Alvin and the Chipmunks franchise specifically to target bops. TikTokers and get some like chipmunk bops, because TikTok loves nothing more than a chipmunkified.
I have to tell you, this song "It's a Wrap" by Mariah Carey was a huge hit, sped up on TikTok, and that has been a joy for me because I love that song, and it's kind of like a deep cut. I don't even think it was ever a single.
What song is that?
Here's the. It's giving all the Mariah-isms.
Yeah, I'm itching for this song to get sped up.
It needs it. You're getting vocal. It's just like a classic Mariah moment. And then is that the sped up version?
Yeah.
Okay, go with that.
Still kind of slow, even sped up. Yeah. Like it's nothing. Hold up, hold up, hold tight. Ain't no donuts, ain't no coffee. See, I know you've seen me call it and call it. I should crack you right in your forehead.
I think, and I'm just working this out verbally for the first time, but I think TikTok has turned all of our heads to just mush.
Oh,
so
for
that
sure.
It only makes sense that the song has to be sped up in order for us to like receive it properly.
Yeah, like even when you were playing that, I was like, I need it faster. Like, and that is the nature of TikTok, is like fast little TV shows that you watch.
Yeah.
Even now I'm finding that it's hard for me to watch anything beyond like one episode of TV in
a
night.
I was recently in Michigan with my parents, so it was like a scripted journey. And I was so proud of myself. I like sat down and watched two scripted shows.
That's a big accomplishment.
Big W for my psyche.
Yeah. I've been on TikTok mode Like, it's just, it doesn't feel like wasting as much time, because then I can also learn something. And now I'm starting to, instead of like Googling things or trying to get like the best recommendations from just like an internet search, I take to TikTok and I see what the TikTokers are saying. And they are not leading me astray.
It's the number one search engine.
For a reason. I get it now.
Yeah.
Years later.
What a haul.
What a haul. I'm so happy that we did the Lana haul.
Me too.
It feels pretty comprehensive. I know some people are mad about not hauling the song Venice Bitch, but we haul what we haul.
I loved this two-part series so much. I think one of the things that I was like a big intention when we started this show is to create something that I know myself, I love just like companion listening to when I'm doing something around the house or like taking on like an organizing project or something like that. And I feel like the part one, part two Lana haul like is the perfect partner in just kind of like getting something done around the house. So it really like checked that box in a major way.
Yeah. You guys are welcome.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And tune in next week.
We have a great one.
We have a great haul coming up. Bye.
Bye. Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shanehals and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok @this_is_too_niche.